So we're continuing our study through the book of James, and we're getting into a part of the book that I think is a little bit misunderstood. Aveline, I don't have my PowerPoint. You have Easy Worship open. Let me just say, being a person who did tech support for so many years, computers just hate us. Like, computers have this ongoing hatred for people. And I told somebody that once, and they said, you know, computers don't feel emotions. And I'm like, they don't feel emotions. Emotions is plural. They have just hate. Just this thing that they don't like us. So we're going through the book of James and talking about the topic of right now media. One of the things we can do as a church is there's all different kinds of content, and you can go, and if you want to search for the book of James on right now media, there's tons of studies. But one thing I can do is I can kind of put together custom playlists as well. So one thing I'm going to do going forward with all the messages that I preach is that if you go on Right Now Media and you click on the little channels part, there's a whole bunch of channels. There's Bible studies, there's men, there's women, there's worship, there's whatever. But there's going to be one there called Parkland Pentecostal Church. And that one I'm going to have full of studies relevant to what I'll be talking about. So I picked out a couple different studies for this one. They all look really good. Some of them are focused just on the book of James. Some of them are focused on the idea of faith that does. And so if you want to go on, check out some of those studies. That'd be awesome. So we're talking about this idea of love and the character of God. And one thing that James, you can kind of see it more and more as you read the book. One thing that you can see in James's heart is he's not even trying to build on the message of Jesus. He's not trying to bring new information necessarily, but he's trying to take the things that Jesus says and really explain them, help us understand what they mean, because we only have so much written down of what Jesus says. So James, being his brother to boot, goes through this effort of trying to like rehash this message of Jesus. And James is an awesome, awesome book. So we're going to start off reading from James 2, verses 14 to 17. It's going to be on the screen. So it says, oh, we don't have it. There it is. Okay. So what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. And this is a really controversial verse. And people tend to fall on two different sides of a spectrum when it comes to this one. And I'll explain that a little bit later. But James is being really strong here. He's saying faith without accompaniment of action is dead. He's not saying, oh, it's suffering. He's not saying you should be doing a better thing here. He's saying it's dead. And so if we take that seriously, then it begs the question, what kind of deeds is it that James is asking us for? There's one thing that churches of all different stripes and colors, biblical, Christian, God-fearing churches, and churches that have nothing to do with God, if there's one thing that all of these churches across the board are good at, is religion. And I don't mean that in a negative sense, necessarily. I found the younger a generation you get, the more the word religion tends to leave a sour taste in your mouth. But I don't mean this in a negative sense. I mean this in the sense of the parts of the Bible or the parts of religious expectation that come along with that. Being moral, cleaning up our language, not watching certain things, not saying certain things, not doing certain things. All the ways that we discipline ourselves, we tend to be really good at that. But is this the kind of deeds that James is asking us for here? He gives an example. He says, suppose there are a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, what good is that? So James is taking this idea of deeds and he's anchoring it purely on this idea of love. And so the kind of deeds that James is asking us to follow with hinge on this idea of love. So churches, we're good at this thing of being religious. We're good at this thing of denying ourselves, of disciplining ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. But James is saying, we're lacking this one thing. We're lacking love. And this is him going right back to what Jesus said in 1 John 3:17. Or this is John, this isn't Jesus saying it directly, but this is John repeating the same idea. He says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? And so John and James are both kind of showing a disconnect here. They're saying, if your faith doesn't cause you to love others sacrificially, to love others a lot, does your love look like God? And he's asking a question. He's saying, do you see somebody in need? Do you have things? Then you can do something about that. How can the love of God be in us if we don't show the kind of love that God showed? You know, Jesus died to bring the lost into the kingdom because he loved them. If our faith doesn't love the lost, does it look like Christ? If our faith doesn't sacrifice to reach people who don't know him, does it look like Christ's sacrifice? And if our love doesn't look like God's love, we don't have God's love. And that's what James is trying to drive home here with this idea of faith versus deeds. He's not trying to say, if you're not doing something, God's unhappy with you. What he's trying to say is that God's love moves us. God's love acts. God's love goes out and above and beyond. And it goes way past what the other person deserves, and it sacrifices. And so if we're not doing those things, are we showing God's love? This is the question that James is asking. This is why he's saying it's dead. Because without God, without God's love in us, our faith is dead. But we can't have God's love in us without really showing it. God's love is the kind of love that makes such a difference that we seek to make a difference in the lives of other people too. I heard an example once where it said that Christians weren't the better people. Christians weren't the clean people in a world full of dirty people. That Christians and non-Christians alike, we were all starving and blind and naked and sick. But we are the ones who found a place to get healed. And if you've ever been in a place where you've had to rely on the generosity of other people to survive, if you've ever been in a place or you've known people who've been in a place of homelessness, of destitution, sometimes it spurns us to protect ourselves. Sometimes it spurns us to take all the good that we can get and hoard it and sit on it because we don't know if it's coming anymore. But sometimes it causes us to just be generous, to make sure that other people can get the same thing. When I was a kid, my family and I would help out a lot in soup kitchens and homeless shelters and all that. And I found such generosity with people in these places that even if this is the only meal that they're getting, they're willing to share it with you. And I couldn't even wrap my head around that. The idea that if I felt bad even eating, going to these places, I'm sitting and I'm having a meal with them, but I felt bad having a meal because every little bit of food I took was more food they couldn't get on the second time through. But they just wanted to make sure I was fed. They wanted to make sure I had too. And this is how God loves, that when he gives you something, it inspires in you the desire to make sure other people have it too. And you know, this segues into James's next point, because sometimes being that externally loving person, sometimes being that person that sacrifices and goes out of their way to help other people puts us in uncomfortable positions. It causes us to do things that we're not necessarily happy about. When I was younger, and I was a new Christian, I was riding a Greyhound bus back into Toronto. It was my first year of Bible college, and I was returning. I didn't have a vehicle, so of course I'm on the Greyhound. And as we're coming into Toronto, I strike up this conversation with this guy, and we're talking, and I'm a new Christian, so I'm doing everything I can to try and talk about God. And he's listening, he wants to hear. And eventually I asked him the question, I said, do you have a Bible? He goes, no. And this is back before smartphones, this is back before apps, so it's not like we'll just download the Bible app. Like, my phone was really, really heavy and it could never, ever break. It's great. And the battery lasted a week. I feel like we've gone backwards in technological progress there. But, so I couldn't just say download the app. So I asked him, do you have a Bible? And he said, no. And I have a Bible. And it was a nice Bible. is one that I got, and it had like the gold trim edges on it, and I thought it was really fancy. And I felt like God said, just give him your Bible. And I'm like, but it's mine. I like this Bible. But I gave him the Bible, and I wrote a little note in it, and I gave it to him. And I never heard anything of what came of that. It's one more step in another person's path. But it's hard to put ourselves in that position. It's hard to put ourselves into that place of loving the people around us. And sometimes we want to legitimize ourselves. We want to say, I've still got faith. This part's just hard for me. But James issues a bit of a challenge on this one, and that's his next verse. He says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds, talking to him. And so James responds, he says, show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So if you ask a random unchurched person what it meant to be a Christian, you might get a lot of theological answers. You might get a lot of idea-based answers. Christians believe this. Christians don't do these things. They don't say these things. They watch these kinds of movies. They have a subscription to Pure Flix, that sort of deal. So basically, a lot of times, Christians, we tend to be known for what we do to ourselves and for ourselves. But what James is saying here, can you show your faith without the kind of deeds that God's love brings? Can you show your faith without that kind of outgoing, external, sacrificial love? And if you think about it, and this is a little bit of a hard thing, because I think it's unintentional. I don't think it's an intentional thing. But if you think about it, there's a little bit of a seed of legalism in this. Is the idea that God's only expecting from us the self-detrimental things. He's only expecting from us the sacrifice and the tithing and the church attendance and the avoiding bad language and all that. And this is where Jesus responds to this. And I think we miss something about what he says here, but it's in Matthew 23:23. And he says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Now, there's something to understand here. People tend to get on two different sides of this religious debate. And that's what I said earlier. So we tend to go on one of two sides. And the first is, they call it the social gospel, that God's called us to just help people and love people and do whatever we can to make sure people are well taken care of and fed and all that. But the personal things, tithing and watching our language and seeking a greater moral purity, that's religion. That's not what God wants from us. And so this is one side. And the other side is the people who say, no, God's called us to purity. God's called us to holiness, to live separately. And so that means I have to look totally different and be unrelatable to other people. I have to do all the different things, avoid all the stuff that everyone in the world does, and don't talk to all the people in the world. We tend to fall on both sides, one of these sides of the spectrum. And the fact is that Jesus is not saying, don't do the religious stuff. He's not saying, skip the moral purity. He was all for more moral purity. He's not saying, skip the tithing. He's not saying, skip the expectation that as Christians we become better people. He's saying we should be doing that and justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Jesus is saying they should have been tithing and practicing justice. But people use this verse to say, you know what, don't be religious, just love. But religion's not a bad word. It's that expectation from us to change, to be more like Jesus. But when God's love comes in, that's when religion stops being a bad thing and starts being a really useful thing, because we're supposed to be different. But we're still supposed to be there loving people. I may have told this story before, but when I started as a technician at IBM, they called me Pastor John because they knew that I was there. I was putting myself through Bible college, and this isn't what I wanted to do for a living. I've said how computers hate us, and so I used to say I was working for the devil was paying me to study for God. And so they called me Pastor John, and what they do at my work is maybe once a month, twice a month, they would go out to a bar and they'd go drinking. They wouldn't go out and get themselves really drunk. It's just a social thing. And they didn't invite me because they're like, well, obviously he's got a problem with this. He's not going to go drinking. But as they got to know me, as they started seeing who I was and how I lived differently, and I wasn't going to drink, but I still cared and I was still someone that was relatable, they started picking bars to go to that would give out free juice to designated drivers. And they'd be like, John, you can come and drink all night and not worry. And there was something about that. The idea that they knew I was different and that I cared. And this is a bit of a controversial example because especially the idea of drinking in bars, it carries a very bad connotation in society. And so I'm in no means trying to condone anything like this. I'm just using an illustration of we can be different and caring at the same time. So James is saying that faith should cause changes in us, but that those changes should cause us to help other people. James is saying that faith does these things. It does the moral purity. It does the standing up for what's right. But faith that doesn't reflect God's love and character to the lost is dead because it never had life in it to begin with. It doesn't have that life, that love from God empowering it and enabling it. And this is the spot where we tend to stumble as Christians, that we tend to default into one of these two camps of either legalism or just social gospel. And the truth is that Jesus focused on both. Jesus focused on being better, being pure and holy for God, and going out having dinner with tax collectors and prostitutes and healing people. Somebody asked Jesus once, what's the greatest commandment? What's the one big thing that God wants us to do? Does he want us to help people? Does he want us to follow the law? Does he want us to do this or that? What is it? And in Matthew 22, 37 to 40, this is how Jesus replies. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And so Jesus starts off with this idea that the one thing God wants from you is this relationship where you love him with everything that you are, with your heart, with your soul, with your mind. From a Greek and a Hebrew perspective, Jesus was saying every part of your character, your intellect, your will, the choices you make, every part of that, you need to love God with that. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And so James is reminding us through faith and deeds, he's reminding us that God's called us to love him and love the people around us. And that's where the deeds comes in, because how much can you really love someone if you're not willing to do something to help that person? My kids can be a little bit needy, and by like a little bit needy. And I swear for the first year of my life, either Catherine and I were holding, year of my life, yes, for the first year of Elizabeth's life, one of us was holding her. I think she only touched the ground at night for a couple hours at a time. And then she'd wake back up again screaming. And it was difficult for us, but the alternative, just going, you know what, I don't care about her anymore. She can take care of herself. It's appalling. If there's one thing that changes when you have kids is that you can't watch movies where kids are in danger anymore. And I saw one where they weren't even in real danger, but there was just this threat to children. And I'm like, I don't like this. And it was a boy and a girl to boot. So I'm like, I don't like this. This is making me really sad. And you just love your kids so much that you want to do things to help them. You want to be there and you want to play with them. And I look forward to coming home and playing with my son. I look forward to walking in and my daughter trying to scare me when I walk through the door. She loves it. She walks over and she goes, boo. Elizabeth, boo. Yeah, we love that. So real love just spawns us to want to do things. And you know, the truth is that God's given us everything that we need to help other people. We just often mistakenly believe that he's given us these things just to help ourselves. That God's taken care of us, God's provided for us, but that he wants us to go and help other people too, to show God's love in radical ways. And we read 1 John 3 earlier, and he didn't say, if you have material possessions that you can spare and you see someone in need. He was saying, do you have stuff? Do you see someone who needs stuff? Great, do something about it. There's this song, it's one of my favorite songs, and it's called Crazy Love by a band named Hawk Nelson, and they're an old school Christian rock band. And it's just a super energetic, it's a fun song. Go on YouTube and find it. Crazy Love by Hawk Nelson. And one of their lines is, he says, you know, when you get everything you need by walking by faith, is it really such a dumb idea to give it all away? And that's the core of the Christian faith, is that we don't need this stuff. We don't need the things that God has given us to take care of us. We need God. So is it really so dumb for us to use our stuff and give it away to take care of people? And I want to be clear about something. This isn't just physical possessions. James isn't just saying you need to make sure you're giving away a lot. It's much more than that. It's also about our internals. We need to be having more patience with people rather than demanding for them to see it or do it our way. We need to have more compassion on people rather than being frustrated by the ways that they drain our resources and our time. And we need to love people just as much as we want to be loved, and that asks a lot from us. It does. And this is the kind of live faith that James is challenging us to, the faith where people can tell that we're different. We haven't abandoned God's calls to purity and moral uprightness and watching our language and how we grow and what we do and the things that we take in. There's way too much stuff in the Bible to ignore all of that. But James is challenging us to this kind of faith that takes that part seriously and takes very seriously the idea that God's love does. God's love makes a difference in people's lives. Through my time with IBM and my interactions with people, I built friendships, I built relationships, I was able to pour into people's lives. Everywhere I go, I try to get into those circumstances of just being able to pour into people's lives, to give advice, to be there to support, to be there to pray, to be there to help people. And this is the kind of faith that James is calling us to, not holding me up as an example, but just saying that real faith materializes in deeply, deeply loving the lost. And we can't love people that much without desperately wanting to do something about it. Not just accommodating people, not just tolerating people, not just wishing them well as they starve, but real love and real action. So we're going to pray, and I have faith that through this, God's kind of put somebody in your head that, as we've been talking about this, that there's been just that little ping where you're like, you know what? What about this person? What about this guy? What about that person? So I want you to try and not drop that. I want you to try and take that. And the best thing to do when we challenge ourselves to something difficult is to have somebody else hold us accountable. So take this person, and if God hasn't given you a name, ask him for one. But take this person and tell somebody else and say, you know what, God's told me to try and make a bigger difference in this person's life. And tell somebody else and tell them, you got to hold me to this. Like every time you see me, you got to bug me. Ask me, keep asking me, don't let me drop this. And let's start making real big differences in people's lives. So let's pray. God, we thank you for today, God. And we thank you that you love us so much that you rescued us, God. We thank you that you love us so much that you help us every day to get through another day. We thank you that you love us so much that you want to see us do well. You want to see us on a rock, God. And so we pray that you'd help us to love others, even just a part of that much, God. Because we know we can never love people as much as you love them, but help us to start loving more like you love people. Help us to start loving more the way that you love people. Help us to start showing our faith, not just by the things we do to ourselves or for ourselves, but showing our faith by the ways that we serve and love and help other people, God. Give us more and more opportunities. Help us to be stretched, God. Help us to see that our resources are just dust that everything you've given us is just dust compared to the glory of knowing you. And so help us to realize that we can give away anything and everything that you've given us, God, knowing that you'll always take care of us. And so I pray for each person you've placed in our hearts, God. I pray that we would start or continue to make an even bigger difference in that person's life. In your name we pray. Amen.